and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown. My name is Kenny McIntosh. I'm joined here, as always, by my friend from St. Louis. No, it is not Randy Orton. It is David J. McCutcheon, a man who now weighs less than Randy Orton. That's right, he has been at the gym. He's had two heart attacks, two heart surgeries, and a partridge in a pear tree. David J. McCutcheon, hello.
Guys, I was going to do this cold open, just slam it right into your eardrums. If you are listening on headphones, turn your headpiece down a little bit because I will be screaming. That's how nice of a guy I am. So there's your warning.
Oh, I see your listeners! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world famous 2-time heart procedure survivor and feel the power! It's a new Dave! Yes, it is! New Dave rocks. New Dave rocks. New Dave rocks. Kenny, how do you feel about New Dave?
I don't know how I feel about that. What I just experienced. I mean, I'd. What the fuck was that?
You are so overwhelmed with positivity right now. The power of positivity.
I'm certainly overwhelmed with something. For sure. That has floored me. I am floored. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, no. Like, I feel like we can no longer top the heart procedure talk after that, right? Like, that's the peak.
Going high.
That is a moon age daydream David Bowie right there. It's like, we should just stop.
Don't you dare compare yourself to him. Don't you give yourself any of that credit. We are here to talk about Monday Night Raw. Fuck me. What a pile of shit. So we're here to talk about, this is episode 25 of the Raw Rundown. We are on the road to the Royal Rumble. We are limping along. But before we begin, good news. Basically, David has used the fact that he's had two heart surgeries to coax Robert back to do some podcasting. And they're going to talk about Wrestle Kingdom 11 this weekend. David is sure it's happening. Sandra and I are hesitant to pep him up about it. Because, if you know, Robert's in a very high-pressure job at the moment, and that's why he's been kind of quiet for a while. He will be back. But, sometimes stuff comes up and he just can't come podcast. And David's very excited. And we're concerned for him. Because I feel like if it gets to Saturday and like they've not spoken, David's going to feel like a boy in Christmas morning without presents. So
I was a boy on Christmas morning without presents this year.
There you go. It's happening again. What we're going to do is they're going to talk about Wrestle Kingdom 11. It's probably going to go on for about a year and a half, which is great. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to put it out onto Patreon for everyone who pays $1 or more. You get to listen to it. But also for you people who listen here every week, next week in the Raw Rundown, we're going to play the entire conversation of David and Robert talking about the main event between Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. We will play that whole conversation for you here next week. David, I mean, I'm not going to get your opinions on Wrestle Kingdom 11 because I know you've seen it. But for me, like I watched the show. I thought it was fun. However, I didn't think anything was going to be able to top the Battle Royal that began the show. Billy Gunn, Cheeseburger, and Scott Norton. Like, that's pretty much my dream of wrestling.
You know what's kind of funny, though, is, like, Scott Norton hasn't aged at all, right? Like, you saw Scott Norton, and you're just like, oh, shit, he looks exactly the same as whenever he was in the NWO.
Yeah, and I also kept thinking about, like, Billy Gunn. Like, Billy Gunn's, like, 53 years old. Like, if you're the wife and you fuck Billy Gunn, like, you've married well, because he's still in shape.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, I hear he's a huge cock, but... Not has a huge cock.
I've met him and he's actually quite nice.
Is he?
Yeah, he's all right.
Well, there you go.
I mean, he's not like fucking Cody Rhodes nice, but he's not like... I'm trying to think of something really bad. He's not like... Who's an utter cunt?
Sonny?
Oh, shit, I mean, she... No, the person I want to say, I can't say. It's really annoying. You know who I want to say, but I'm not going to say. car name.
You know what I'll say? I'll throw one out. Colt Cabana. That's my own personal opinion. I don't like Colt Cabana. I think he's a dick.
I used to like Colt Cabana. We did the show with Colt Cabana. It was fun. The thing about Colt Cabana is I feel like he takes himself really seriously.
To be a comedic wrestler, I have no fucking clue why he takes himself so seriously at all.
Yeah, I don't know. He's really, really super serious.
Very insecure, I would say.
Yeah, 100%. But
I have heat with Colt Cabana. That's my big revelation.
There you go. We've heard it here first. I do want to ask you very quickly, before I tell you very quickly what I think about the match that everyone is talking about between Okada and Kenny Omega. What do you think of all this chat about the Royal Rumble poster where AJ Styles is positioned in row 4?
Here's the thing, right? Is like, I've heard so much about it over the past 24 hours. I don't think it automatically means that he's losing at the Royal Rumble, even though he is. Sorry. but just because he's on a poster doesn't mean that he's going to lose at a thing. It's all marketing, you guys. That's all it is. The four front guys, I have no issue with those guys being at the front. Why? It's marketing. It's simple marketing. I was in marketing for 13 years. I know how this operates. Those guys up front, they draw the most money. They sell the most tickets. They are the biggest draws in wrestling right now, as of today, who can still get into the ring and perform. They may not be around that much longer. They are trying to capitalize, you guys. Capitalize. It is a business that they need to operate and make money off of. And putting AJ Styles at the front, I would like to see it, but I get why they're not going to do it, because of the fact that it's all about drawing money. That said, I think that he should definitely be in the second row, not in the same row as our fucking Truth. Like, that is ridiculous to me that's even a thing. The tag team champions aren't on the poster, neither tag team championship team. It's kind of mind-boggling to me, right? And then, of course, front and center, as Mel pointed out, right? Whenever you're looking there, the subliminal message is Roman Reigns in the second row, dead center of the poster. The only person who is dead center, by the way. So, it's just, it's where's Braun Strowman? That's what I want to know.
He is a babe. I don't know why he's not there. Do you know, like, I'm not too annoyed about it. Like, initially when I saw it, I was like, oh, come on, guys. He deserves to be a little bit further. But, like, there was never a point where I was like, that's it. AJ Styles is not in the front row. I'm not buying the Royal Rumble. You know?
right, exactly.
And, like, the thing is, I totally get, right? There are people who are listening to this who are going, but we want new stars. And I totally get it. And I agree with you. But at the end of the day, this is a pay-per-view where there's 60,000 people in the building and all that, you know, the stories they're telling, the Goldberg-Lesnar story is what people are into. Goldberg is moving some ratings for them. Undertaker is, you know, in his last kind of days, and Cena is the biggest star in wrestling. So it only makes sense for them to be there. But I do want to talk to you very quickly, David, if you don't mind, about Okada and Omega.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. So I got a chance to watch it finally, and somebody on Twitter said to me, how have you not had a chance to watch it? And I was like, well, I worked 4 16-hour days and had one day off and decided to not watch wrestling for it. Thanks.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes we need downtime from wrestling. There's
like I'm not complaining about this before, because if it sounds like I'm complaining, that's tell me shut up, because, like, I have nothing to complain about. But, like, if you knew how much in my life, from when I wake up to when I go to sleep, I have to talk about wrestling or watch wrestling or discuss wrestling or email about wrestling or liaise with people about wrestling, it is pretty much all the time. And I love doing it, don't get me wrong, but there's sometimes I just need a little bit of downtime, especially when I've been dealing with a group of wrestlers for 3 days on a tour constantly from when I wake up to when I go to sleep. So the thing is,
Kenny, is that even if you love something with every ounce of your being, if it absorbs every waking second of your day, sometimes you just need a little break, mate.
Well, I mean, sometimes you have a day off and you just want to watch Frasier and have a wank. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all you want to do. So, you know, allow a man that privilege. And but I got a chance to watch it eventually anyway. And I thought that as it began, I was kind of watching the first 10 minutes. And I was like, this is all right. Like, it's decent. And then it picked up, and then it picked up, and it picked up, and it picked up, and it picked up. And it was sensational. It really was. It was a great match.
I'm so happy that you agree with it. I wasn't sure how you would feel about it.
I love it. Here's the thing. I don't like the Ricochet Will Ospreay match. It's not my thing. Yeah. I think it's more Cirque du Soleil than wrestling, and that's not for me. I'm not saying, no, I'm not going to turn around to you and be a wanky wrestling fan and say, that's not wrestling. It's a form of wrestling that I don't necessarily buy into, and I think it's a problematic form of wrestling because I think what it promotes is people not being invested in stories and being invested in flips, and that's not what I think is good for the wrestling business going forward. However, here's the thing. I watched the match, and I want to get this kind of semi, it's not negative, but it's just, I don't think it's a 6-star match, right? Dave Meltzer made it like a 6-star. I don't think it's like the best thing I've ever seen in my life. It's definitely one of the best matches I've ever seen, but I wouldn't say that it's like, I didn't watch it and go, you know, an extra star should be added to star ratings for this. I think it was definitely great, but like, I think it was almost too hyped in that sense. But apart from that, like, it was sensational. And I think that the key for me and the biggest compliment I can give it as a wrestling fan is that I grew up on story. Story is what I love in wrestling. It's what I've always loved. And I didn't know the story, and it didn't matter. And I still loved it. And that's the key of how good it is, you know?
I'm so happy that I got to hear it. Because I've been watching New Japan. You know me. New Japan's my thing, right? If somebody asked me, what would you choose if you could only watch one weekly wrestling program? New Japan Pro Wrestling. No doubt. I don't even have to sit and think about it. It's like that far above everything else. So I was.
Well, the funny thing is, that person actually gave you the choice of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and you said New Japan. So don't try and make out like they just said weekly wrestling show. You did not.
I'm being a cheeky prick, but the point was, though, is that I don't nearly think of SmackDown as high as you and Sandra do, or a lot of wrestling fans do. And I think that Raw is dog shit, and I think that NXT has become stagnant. So those three brands just don't really do much for me. And ROH lacks story and a build and an emotional attachment with most of their wrestling. And I don't care for half their roster. I'm just going to say that now. So automatically, ROH is kind of... I love Kyle O'Reilly, and I was sad that he lost his ROH World Championship to a guy that I don't particularly care about, Adam Cole, on this show. But that's a talk for me and Robert later. But the thing is that, like, just by process of elimination, New Japan is kind of my thing, and I do really love it. I love almost everybody on the roster. So I was very curious what an outsider who did not see the build of the Elite coming for all of the titles and trying to walk into Wrestle Kingdom and wow everybody and make a star out of Kenny Omega. I was curious if you didn't know that story, how you would relate to this match. So I'm so happy that it connected for you. I wasn't sure how you would feel about it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really great, and I it's going to be on Actus this weekend with Jim Ross commentary. So I'm going to rewatch it.
Yes, with that commentary. It will be on Access with one of my favorite commentary teams, Jim Ross, good old JR, and Josh L. Barnett. I love Josh L. Barnett, guys. If you have never watched New Japan on Access TV. This is the week to start. On Friday, it will be the full match. Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega, the cleaner for the Elite, and Okada representing Chaos. I love it. It's amazing. It's a fantastic match. I will gush more about it with Robert this weekend, actually. But make sure you DVR that match. It's so good, and that commentary team is going to knock it out. I thought that Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino did a fabulous job, by the way, of calling that match.
Yeah, I didn't think they were great the whole night, but I thought they picked it up by that time. By the time for that match, I thought they got there.
Yes.
They got to where they needed to be to call it. But one of my favorite calls of in a long time was when Omega had done that, you know, fucking brutal neck breaker thing to Okada, or the suplex thing. Whatever it was, the big neck spot, and then I think it was Kevin Carey, and I think Corino said, you know, when he gets neck fusion surgery, he's going to remember that move.
Was it the tiger suplex on the top rope?
Yes, that was it.
There you go.
That was the one. All I can say is like I'm a complete WWE fan or mark or that's the one that I just kind of always go back to watch, and it's my favorite. But even I would say that like just check this match. I don't think that people should go into this match thinking this is going to be the best match you've ever seen. Don't go into it thinking like that.
No.
Just go into it and watch it with an open mind. And I think you'll enjoy it. And I think that's the problem with some of these kind of matches, that people go in going, this is the best match you're ever going to see. And I think when you do that to people, it can hamper the enjoyment a little bit. But it's if you go in with a little bit more of an open mind, just kind of enjoy it for what it is fantastic. It's well worth the watch. However, sadly, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Monday Night Raw from New Orleans, Louisiana. The Smoothie Kings Arena, my least favorite arena name in the world. Sounds like an arena for jizz juice, to be honest. But, so we kick off the show with Stephanie McMahon speaking to Mick Foley about his performance review. She said, rumors of The Undertaker appearing. Foley said he had a strong feeling that Undertaker would be there. Seth Rollins came in. He's in the Royal Rumble now. Ended up Braun Strowman came in, and him and Rollins started brawling, and Stephanie sort of, shouting at Mick to get them under control as we cut to the ring for the first match. First of all, what did you think of Mick's haircut this week?
Let me go ahead and just cut back a little bit. I had to Google this. You were talking about the Smoothie King Arena or whatever the fuck it's called.
Mm-hmm.
The proposed stadium name for whenever the St. Louis Rams were going to be kept in St. Louis, as opposed to what ended up happening, which is them being hijacked and moved back to Los Angeles, where no one cares about them. It was National Car Rental Field. So there's one.
Now that's devoid of any fucking personality, isn't it?
That doesn't even have like a brand name like Smoothie King. At least Smoothie King is a thing, right? The National Car Rental Field. Oh, God! It just gives me an aneurysm thinking about it. But anyways, though, Mick's haircut, it was awesome. I loved it. I thought that it made him look good in terms of his weight loss. You could tell how much weight he had lost after seeing it. I was just happy to see him coming out not looking like somebody's grandma who took a Sharpie to their face.
we will get back to Stephanie in a little bit, because I do have some
to?
Stuff I'd like to say. Well, I would like to, if that's okay with you, just one time. We do kick off the show with Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho in a handicap match for the US title. It goes like, it's like a non-match, because Rollins and Strowman end up coming out while they're brawling. Loads of shenanigans, and then Stephanie ends up booking Seth against Braun. So we get Braun and Seth going for about 10 or 11 minutes, and it ends in a double count out. I think for me, like, I actually think one of the good things about this was, I think that this was a good thing for Rollins to do. I felt like I saw a little bit of fire out of him, which I was enjoying seeing. I don't usually see from him.
It was nice seeing him as, like, an underdog, right? Like, it was a little refreshing, I thought. The best way that I can put it is, I wasn't sick of Seth Rollins this week, which is the highest compliment I can give to any of these four guys that are in the main event every week.
That's the upgrade. Well, I mean, yeah, that is the upgrade on Seth Rollins for sure. Now we got a backstage promo with Sasha and Bayley. They were talking about Bayley's title shot. Sasha was saying she believes in her, and maybe they could have a match after that. Charlotte walks in, accuses Sasha of pretending to care about Bayley. And Charlotte and Sasha have a little bit of a fight, and then Nia Jax enters the picture. Nia Jax just kicks Sasha Banks' bad knee. And Charlotte throws Bayley into the production crate. Jax kicks Sasha again. And then Charlotte laughs and put, and this is just like such a great nuanced moment, is Charlotte laughs and pats Jax in the back. And Nia Jax backs her up against the production equipment as if to say, I'm not your fucking friend. Like, Nia Jax, oh, what a woman.
A woman after our hearts.
Yep.
I'm starting to develop a crush on Nia Jax. I enjoy me a little bit of Nia.
She's not
Jax.
Like most girls.
She's not like most girls. I've heard that. Yeah.
I do think though that I think that SmackDown probably tells the better stories with the women, even if the wrestling is not really there as much. But I think that, you know, these two matches, Charlotte and Bayley and Sasha and Nia, have potential to be really good programs if they can keep up the kind of intensity that was in this backstage segment. If they can somehow keep that going, it could be something cool to watch, I guess.
I will say that I completely disagree that SmackDown has better women's stories.
It's interesting, because for me, I think that taking away your hatred of Nikki Bella, and listen, I'm not by any stretch going to argue with you to say Nikki Bella is a great wrestler. I don't think she is. However, I think that what works for me more on the SmackDown stories is they feel a little bit more, what's the word? Like the Nikki and Natalya stuff feels a little bit more realistic in the sense that they're actually bringing up issues that people think about them and using it in a story. So I like that. And then with the Becky and Alexa stuff, I'm quite enjoying the story they're kind of telling there. Whereas on Raw, you know, Charlotte and Bayley, the problem with them is that how many matches have they had now? You know, they've just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled.
I think that the wrestling is more problematic on Raw, but I don't think it's necessarily story related. I think the issue is that the stories on Raw are often attached to the wrestling itself. I think that's the issue with Raw.
Yeah, that's problematic. Because I think the wrestling quality on Raw is much better.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's the problem, I think, is when, you know, in SmackDown, I guess, for me anyway, they're able to separate the stories with it from the wrestling, which makes me, you know, at least if I'm not enjoying the wrestling as much, I'm able to enjoy a little bit of story aside
right.
from that. You know, it's like a little kind of side plate of hash browns with your breakfast or whatever. But,
right.
I'm hoping
that
the
hash browns weren't covered in feces. I despise the SmackDown women's writing. Every woman is represented by who she's married to or who she's in a relationship with or catty reality TV show bullshit. I feel like it's just setting women back. Alexa and Becky are the only spotlights in that
cesspool of terrible
writing.
Well, two-fifths of it. You know, there's Carmella and Nikki and Natalya, who, you know, whether you like their stories or not, you can't really argue with some of what you're saying, even though your wording is a little bit harsher than the way some people would say it. But Becky and Alexa are definitely doing some good stuff. It'll be interesting to see how that goes going forward towards WrestleMania. But up next, we had Jack Gallagher beat Drew Gulak in a very quick match, and then Jack Gallagher said he was going to extend an olive branch to Daivari. And, you know, instead of giving him a thrashing, he was wanting to, you know, try and make an agreement. But I kind of felt like with the Cruiserweights this week, it went back to the nondescript kind of blasé, dull stuff that we had before.
I have a bit of a confession. I have stopped watching 205 Live.
Yeah, so have I.
I was watching it religiously. And the issue is that they have all these talented guys. You want to know why the Cruiserweight Classic tournament, why that was so good? Because it wasn't WWE wrestling. They put these guys in the ring and they said, wrestle an indie match. And then they did.
But do you know what's funny, though? I actually thought, like, I like the stories that they're telling on 205 Live. Like, that's not actually the problem. But I think the Cruiserweight wrestling is so... You can tell they're being very controlled as to what to do, and it's just really hurting. It's just really hurting the way they wrestle. But I do enjoy Neville.
It is taking these cruiserweight guys who had built up a career and a repertoire on the indies, and it is handcuffing them and shackling their legs and going, "All right, go out and have a match, but you got to make sure you wrestle our style." To me, that's just stupid. It's ludicrous. Let them wrestle. You don't want to know why the cruiserweights worked in WCW and they never worked in the WWE because WCW didn't give a shit. They just bought a bunch of talent and threw them out in the ring and said, there you go, ECW doesn't have you anymore. Right? Like that was the whole reason that it worked, is they went out and they let them do their own thing and they ended up getting over because they did their own thing. So, I don't know. Take the shackles off these guys and let them do whatever the hell they want and the product would be a lot better.
Yeah, I think Gallagher's a real asset to that brand, so I hope that he gets a chance to do more in the ring.
The guy for that brand, in my opinion. I love no one more than Jack Gallagher. I love Jack Gallagher.
After a brief backstage segment where we had Mick Foley trying to search for The Undertaker and Stephanie telling me I had an hour to do it, we got Shawn Michaels coming out. He made his entrance here. And, you know, he talked about missing the fans and, you know, the Royal Rumble coming up. The fans were chatting one more match at him and he was like, don't you try to pressure me. And then he talked about his movie, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone, which is a Jesus movie, ladies and gentlemen. So
my wife was really hoping that it would be a Jesus movie. That way we can watch it and make fun of it.
So then out comes Rusev, with Lana and Jinder Mahal, you know, minorities stick together. Rusev actually had some really good one-liners to Sean, but in the end, Enzo and Cass came out. Enzo's still using a little scooter. Michaels kind of got involved a wee bit, and it led to Big Cass against Jinder Mahal with Sean and Enzo and Rusev at ringside. Big Cass got rid of Jinder Mahal quickly when Michael, and then Michaels also hit a sweet chin music on Rusev. I don't understand. I said this on Twitter. If my mum was given a very brief outline of, you know, mum, Shawn Michaels is coming to Raw, right? But he's promoting this Jesus movie and nobody's going to watch. you know, it's 20 years since the Royal Rumble, blah, blah, blah. Can you just come up with something for him to do? I think that she could be sitting, taking a shit and come up with something better than they came up. I don't understand why these legendary people come back and they have such poor creative for these guys. Like, it's fucking Shawn Michaels, you know? Whether you love him or you hate him, he's one of the best of all time. He's a huge star. He's a huge name. It's 20 years since he was in the Royal Rumble at San Antonio and defeated Psycho Sid. And you have him come out to promote a Jesus movie and then be Big Cass and Enzo's fucking manager? This is what you have for him? It is so stupid. And it's and do you know what I'm glad of? I just found out there that the rating this week for Raw was down from last week. Yeah. And I'm glad it was down from last week. Because you know what? People are now cottoned onto the idea that a Shawn Michaels appearance or a Hulk Hogan appearance or a whatever, they don't mean anything anymore because there's no relevant creative put into those appearances. It's poor. We should be getting better. And I thought it was a shame because I thought there was so much fun, interesting, relevant stuff they could have done with Michaels, and they chose to just do the lazy, lazy, lazy route. So it was very disappointing.
It's never going to change, I hate to say it, but I mean, we've been sitting here thinking, oh, they're going to do something really fun with these guys who come back, and it never does. So, I hate to be Debbie Downer, you guys, but the world's looking bleak.
The thing is, there's always hope. We live with hope, you know? That's the only thing we have left, is hope. And the thing is, you know, Shawn Michaels, when he did that storyline stuff with Daniel Bryan, that was really good. That was fun. Daniel Bryan got to choke him out in the ring. You know, there was some good stuff there. There is stuff you can do with Shawn Michaels. He has so much connection to WWE and some of the stuff in it that, like, I just don't understand the laziness of it. But I'm hoping that by the ratings being down a little bit like this, that this will be, you know, eventually they will kind of realise. I'm aware I'm being the optimistic one, but that's my role here at Inside the Ropes. Dave is a curmudgeon. I'm the optimist. Dare I ask what you thought of the Shawn Michaels segment here?
I think I would rather watch your mom take that shit where she would think something up for Shawn Michaels to do on Raw than watch Shawn Michaels on Raw.
For sure.
I'm not even like a Donald Trump person who likes watching people take shits.
Well, I'll pass it on to my mum and I'll see what she thinks. Neville defeated Lince Dorado in a very quick match. Afterwards, Rich Swann came out. They had a little back and forth. They're in a feud. It's actually quite good. I mean, Neville's got a new lease of life as a heel here. So I do enjoy seeing that. And I think that, you know, Neville and Rich Swann have now got a cruiserweight title match at the Royal Rumble. That should be fun to watch. I hope they're given decent enough time because they could play a good match.
That's my worry, is that they're going to give them 5 minutes and tell them, all right, go out there and do this, or give them like the pre-show match, you know.
Well, it's a 4-hour pay-per-view, so hopefully they'll get something, you know, 10 minutes or something.
I hope.
We did then get Luke Gallows against Sheamus, and Sheamus ended up beating him in the end. Do you see Anderson Gallows as a good contendership for Sheamus and Cesaro?
No, I don't. I think that they dropped the ball quite a bit on the club. It's kind of sad, too. I was watching some old New Japan not too long ago, and man, oh man, the Bullet Club, Gallows and Anderson, such a good team, you know? And then they just come up there, man, here's the thing, is you only get one chance to make a first impression, right? And it's like, they bring them out week after week after week and just drub them. And why should we care? Why should we care about any of this?
It's one of those weeks, folks.
It is, because it's all leading up to the grand culmination at the end of this show to where we realize what the future holds. And we'll get there, folks. We'll get there.
We get Mick Foley standing in the ring with Stephanie. Stephanie's kissing, you know, Mick's not... Stephanie comes out and she's like, you know, where's Undertaker? And you know, this is your performance review and... You've had some great ideas, but it's, you know, one step forward, two steps back. SmackDown's beat Raw in the ratings, blah, 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 blah. And Undertaker makes his entrance, comes out. He pauses for a while, says, I'm back. And the important, he said, I think it's important the world should know that I'm entering the Royal Rumble. Braun Strowman was shown watching this on the screen, by the way. Undertaker said he answers to no one, walks right up to Stephanie's face and says, no one. At least somebody can say that to her.
Yes.
And then he said he's digging 29 holes for 29 souls and will bring the dark side to the Rumble match. This was probably my favorite part of the whole show, because at least it was, you know, a special appearance by The Undertaker and he's entering the Royal Rumble. That's something to get on board with. What did you think of The Undertaker's brief appearance here at the scene of the crime when he lost his streak the last time in New Orleans?
I thought it was a good appearance. I was happy to hear that he is entering the Royal Rumble, even though he's probably not going to win. I hope he does, because at this point, who cares, right? I mean, he would be a better contender than most of the guys they built up. So it's I'm excited for it. It looks pretty sweet, though. Him going, I answer to no one, and then being Vince McMahon's bitch boy last year against his son. That's a little. I don't know if I believe that. Actions speak louder than words, Taker. You know.
This is true. You know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was probably the only part of Raw that I actually would want to go back and watch.
Yeah,
great to see him back. Glad he's in the Rumble. Keen to see what he does. Here is my rant portion of the podcast. Stephanie McMahon is the worst wrestling character I've ever seen. She is a good heel, no doubt about it. She is very good at getting heel heat. She is very good at making the fans dislike her. But she is the most topsy-turvy, hot-and-cold heel I've ever seen. She ruins television shows. She causes people to switch the channel. She is never gets her comeuppance unless Ronda Rousey turns up, in which case she's gagging for a bit of it. She emasculates people. She treats the roster like babies. She is so incredibly unlikable, and yet she is the CEO of the company who apparently is able to go and do Be a Star rallies when she can't even run a fucking wrestling company. And she can't. And here's the thing. Why is Stephanie McMahon, the woman behind this character, not saying, guys, I don't know if it makes much sense for me to basically be above every single person on the roster? And the best way that somebody put it to me on Twitter, and this is what it is, this Stephanie McMahon on TV is like Austin versus McMahon without an Austin. That's what we're watching every single week.
That is the perfect way to put it. Wow.
It's bullshit. It's so stupid. She is a fucking cretin of a character. I'm sure the woman behind it is nice. I don't know her. I'm not going to claim to know her. But I just think it's like, do you know what? Her dad was a fucking great television performer, but her dad knew when to fucking put people over.
Her dad knew when to get his ass kicked and when to get humiliated on television. I can only remember once when she was actually humiliated, and that was whenever Vicky Guerrero, like, tossed her in pig shit or whatever the fuck she tossed her in.
Yeah, but here's the thing. People can say what they like about Vince McMahon, right? People can say good or bad things about him all you want.
Yeah.
But Vince McMahon was one of the best heels of all time. And he
the
always
best heel
gave
of all time. Absolutely.
And always got his comeuppance, always took his comeuppance. And the thing is, Vince McMahon, has anything that somebody's done in WWE TV, we go, oh, I think that was a bit harsh or a bit rough. He's probably done worse. So I do believe that he thinks nothing's off limits for me, so everybody else should be okay with it. That's his call, but he always knew what was, I hate to say it, he always knew it was best for business when it comes to his character. He always knew when he had to put people over, when he had to take things. And she doesn't take anything, and it's so frustrating. Usually I can get by, but this show was just... And the worst thing is, the worst part of it all, is that Mick Foley, the man, takes it. Why the fuck is he there? The man needs to get out now. This is tarnishing Mick Foley's legacy. Mick Foley is Stephanie McMahon's bitch, and it's fucking embarrassing to watch. It is making me lose respect for Mick Foley. He has enough money. I don't buy that he's there for the money. So he needs to either, you know, fight this awful creative they're giving him or get out, because I can't keep watching it.
From every hint that he's dropped, it sounds like he may be on the way out. So
good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he realizes it now, and he's trying a diplomatic way of backing out of it.
And here's the thing, right? All that needs to happen is Stephanie needs to get her comeuppance from someone. That's all we need.
On the roster. All this could be rectified, and we could enjoy her as a character getting humiliated, or her ass kicked, or something. Ugh. I hate whenever there is a solution that's so blatantly obvious, and it feels like we're the only ones that get it, right?
It's so annoying. I mean, but
you know what it's like, actually, Kenny? It's like watching one of those hidden picture deals, to where if you stare at something long enough, you see something, and you stare at something, and you're like, oh, that's a race car. Yeah, no, I see the race car right there. But the person who's actually trying to guess just doesn't get it, and they've been staring at the fucking picture for like 12 hours now. And our legs are hurting because we have to stand there with them. You know, I mean, they're not going to flip the page and show us a new picture until this person gets it right, right? It's like, for fuck's sake, it's a race car. Just look at it. And you, like, start pointing out the outline of the race car, and Stephanie McMahon is the one that's watching it and going, I don't know. I think it might be a cheetah. And you're like, no, it's not a fucking animal. It's a goddamn race car. There's the fucking tires, bitch. Come on, look at it. Oh! And you just start grabbing her and shaking her until finally you start having an aneurysm and foaming at the mouth, and then you're dead. That's what the WWE's doing to us right now with this storyline, Kenny. They're killing us.
It's so frustrating. The worst part of this whole fucking thing, who is the one person to get comeuppance on her? Roman fucking Reigns. Go suck a fuck. Oh, don't. I can't even talk about it. I'm too angry. Up next, we have Charlotte and Nia Jax against Bayley and Sasha. It goes about 8 or 9 minutes. But in the end, Nia Jax ends up knocking Bayley down, hitting the leg drop, and getting the 1-2-3. So obviously, what are you thinking so far of this kind of tag team rivalry we've kind of got going on with the two various feuds intertwined?
I'm okay with it right now. I always feel like this stuff just dilutes the alcohol, though, you know? It's one of my favorite comparisons to make, but I feel like whenever you have a strong shot of whiskey, you don't want to add water to it to make it shitty, right? And this is just, at this point, the WWE just has these characters thrown at each other for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's like, why do we want to buy the pay-per-view and watch it whenever we've already seen these two touch a million times, you know?
Yep, I'm with you. I thought it was fine. I think that, you know, I said it last week, I think Bayley needs to up her game. Really does. And I don't think it's even the company's fault. I think she's letting it down a little bit. I think she needs to step it up, you know. Because here's the thing, I said to Sondra a couple of weeks ago about SmackDown, that I wasn't thrilled when Alexa Bliss won the belt, the WWE SmackDown Women's title.
Yeah.
And I actually think that she's actually really stepped up her game in a few ways. And I think a lot of people are, you know, even Natalia, who's not great, she's trying. You know, she's trying stuff, and I respect people who try. You know, whether it's successful or not, I respect it. I feel that Bailey's not quite trying where she needs to be trying, and there's so much potential for her that I really hope it pops into place soon for her, because she's just a marketing goldmine, a lovely person, and her shirt's at a paedophile's dream. So Noam Dar was fixing his hair when Alicia Fox comes in, and then basically she very aggressively kisses him and says he can't handle a real woman and walks away. Any thoughts?
No. I mean, good. Like, this is just basic stuff. I kind of figured this was the way it was going, because if women are not going to be trophies in matches, then they are going to be conniving and manipulative and heartbreakers.
I just don't care. I mean, did you know what? I do like the Noam Dar's on Raw, though.
To be fair, he's really good at being a sleazy heel too. I dig it a whole lot.
He so. Is. Up next we get the New Day. They come out with the Bootios, and up next we get Titus O'Neil. And Titus O'Neil comes out to apologize for attacking Xavier. He wants another opportunity to get in the New Day. Xavier said that he got his texts and his tweets, and that, you know, when he told him his DMs were open, he wasn't talking about him. And Titus starts singing about how it goes down in the DMs. I hate that Titus O'Neil made me laugh. I hate it. Then they play footage of him doing the obstacle course from NXT in 2010. Then they make him do it again with a keg at ringside, and it's filled with the booty juice sports drink. Titus has to run around the ring with a keg. He beats the time they gave him, but he dropped the keg. Which actually, you know, to be fair to Brian Alvarez, who brought it up, is very hard to do live, and he got it right. So fair play to Titus.
Yeah, yeah.
And Titus ends up getting upset, shoves Kofi Kingston, turns into a match. Kofi beats Titus in like 3 minutes. I really hate that. I'm enjoying what Titus O'Neil is doing right now. And you know what? It's because of the New Day, so I'll give them the credit.
It is all on the New Day. I was looking forward to the New Day being in the Royal Rumble, but now I'm realizing, oh, fuck. Titus O'Neil is just going to eliminate some of them, isn't he? Like, that's where all this is leading. I was looking for, like, this big next evolutionary step. Like, the New Day, like, I don't ever want the New Day to break up, right? I'm perfectly cool with them becoming huge single stars. I love that idea. But I want them to be, like, the Bullet Club, you know, or the Elite, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Where even though they're off doing singles things, they're still together, they still accompany each other. You know what I mean? Something like that. Because I don't want them to split. I think it's a better story if they're all together. And
yeah, man, I
thought this would be the next step for them, and I have a feeling that it's just going to be a Titus O'Neil thing at the Royal Rumble.
I don't think Titus O'Neil is going to eliminate him at the Royal Rumble. I think that Titus O'Neil is the gag in this gag. I think you're okay. I'm confident for you. You don't need to worry. But Titus O'Neil is doing something enjoyable, so you know what they say, folks. Hell's frozen over. Pack up the kids, get to the fucking bomb shelters. Things are going wrong. Titus O'Neil is good at something.
Yes.
It's main event time, though. We get the, you know, handicap match for the US title. Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Fun fact, in the last 8 weeks of television, they've all fought variations of each other. The only thing that's fun about that fact, it's so tragic. But in the end, Chris Jericho would win the United States Championship from Roman Reigns. And we go off the air with Owens and Jericho, you know, both champions, both love and life, like Michelle McCool. I'm happy for Jericho that he's got a belt that he's never had before, so he can kind of tick that off his list. But
yes,
I like you realized what this meant.
Yeah. Oh God. You
guys. Here's the thing.
Roman Reigns.
I hate broken stories. Like, bad stories are fine, because at least they're just trying, it's just not working. But this is a broken story, and it's like the third fucking year we're having to go through it. And it's such dog shit.
Do you think third time is a charm with the coronation of Roman Reigns at WrestleMania?
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that at WrestleMania, you're going to have the following. You're going to have The Undertaker and John Cena. I think you're going to have Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg. I think you're going to have Seth Rollins and Triple H. I think, here's a prediction, I think AJ Styles goes to WrestleMania against Samoa Joe. That's my prediction. Oh. I think you're going to have an implosion of the Wyatts, and I think all that stuff is going to be more well-received than Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman. And yeah. I think that, I actually think that this is a good idea because it's going to bomb. And I think it's good because they need to see it bomb again, because clearly, if they were to pull it now, then we would just have them try it again next year. But I think the only way for this to potentially go away is for it to fail for a third time. I think that's where we're at. But the biggest problem for me is that I think that Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, who also are going to have a WrestleMania program, you know, it's fine for them to have a US title program at WrestleMania, but this, they should be the Universal title program.
It should.
That should be the one.
They're the ones who have earned it.
They're the story.
Yes.
You know?
That is the story that the most logical conclusion that most people want to see is Owens and Jericho, a babyface Chris Jericho, because everybody loves the list. You know, the list is more over than Kevin Owens, let alone anybody else on the fucking roster. So, people want to see that, and it would be a great culmination of Chris Jericho's transformative run that was so improbable that I would have never guessed it in a million years, that he would become, a year after I was slagging him off in What Culture articles, he would become the most important thing to Monday Night Raw. Like, by a long shot, right? And so he deserves it, if nothing else, for that reason.
Yep, I concur. I think that I just wish it we didn't have to keep going through this shit. But let's give it a rating, because I know you need to head off soon, David. So out of 10, what do you want to give this Raw? What bone are you throwing it?
This Raw was soul crushing. It wasn't the worst Raw that we've seen, and it may not even be the worst Raw that we've reviewed. But on the eve of Royal Rumble, what used to be my favorite pay-per-view of the year and is now probably my 12th favorite pay-per-view of the year. the issue is, you guys, is we should have seen something different, and it seems like we're continually running into the same brick wall in hopes that it will finally collapse and allow the freedom of Roman Reigns to reign free. Oh, what linguistics. Hey-o. But the thing is that this is just going to be another gigantic bomb. I don't want to see this at my first WrestleMania. I want to see something else. So this Raw was soul-crushing for me. I thought that because of the circumstances and the timing and everything else, I'm going to give this a 1 out of 10. The only thing that saved it from getting a 0 out of 10 is that Chris Jericho won the U.S. title, which is a good thing, even though it sets up the inevitable headlining of Roman Reigns at WrestleMania for a third year in a row, where it will fail miserably for a third year in a row, setting up a long-time streak of at least 5 WrestleManias with Roman Reigns in a top position where no one cares about him. All I can say is please stop booing Roman Reigns or cheering Roman Reigns. Go there and cross your arms and stay in complete silence. Don't clap your hands. Don't do anything. Stop reacting to Roman Reigns, and eventually he will either go away or change. I'm okay with either option at this point. Kenny, what would you give this Raw?
I think you've been too harsh for this episode, to be fair. I mean, it was bad. It wasn't that bad.
It was bad, but it was soul-crushing to me. The thing is I'm on the precipice of going to my first WrestleMania, probably my only WrestleMania. I don't want to see this story.
Oh, that's what they all say. That's what they all say in the beginning.
I don't know. The lady wants tykes, Kenny, and those cost a lot of money. So
put it off another year. It's fine.
Come
on, Ola.
It just broke my heart, you know? I mean, there's no way to put it.
My heart was not broken, but I thought that I'm frustrated. I'm going to give this show a 1.5 out of 10. The reason I give it a 0.5 higher than David is because I enjoyed The Undertaker, and he was on the show.
Yeah.
So I give it a 1.5. I just think that it was, for me, the biggest thing on this show was actually not Roman Reigns. That wasn't the biggest problem. It was Stephanie McMahon. I think she's a bigger... I actually think she ruins the television more than Roman Reigns. Because I could handle one guy that I just don't click with watching. But I can handle it. It's not going to kill my... Like, you know, if we go to WrestleMania, like, you're going to have, like, 7 or 8 matches you're going to really enjoy and have a good time with. There's going to be, like, one match that you're not into, you know? That's fine. Like, that's still well worth the trip. But Stephanie is on the weekly program and she's everywhere. She's all over it. And she hurts the product. She hurts the guys. She hurts the girls. She hurts Charlotte. She hurts Sasha. She hurts Bailey. She hurts Dolph. She hurts Roman. She hurts Seth. She hurts Ambrose. She hurts Brian. Every single person she comes into contact with is a worse character and seems less rootable, if that's even a word, than they were before. And she's a problem. And I just hope that at some point that she herself can find it somewhere in her heart to crave to be a good character, to crave to actually want to do something that people can go, she did that. Because even her husband, you look back at WrestleMania 30 and you think, you know what, without Triple H, that Daniel Bryan run would not have worked. He put him over that weekend and really helped make that weekend for him. For all the shit we can say about him, Sting and everything else, he did that. And yeah, it's about time she fucking does that for somebody.
And I don't know if it'll ever happen. I really don't.
So, David, where can people find you on the Twitter?
You guys can locate me and let me know your frustrations with the current product. And let me trust me, I get hundreds of mentions a day about how much you guys despise it. At Zoopsoul, that's Zoopsoul. Kenny, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at KennyMC1985. Now, the reason 1985 is there is I just recently celebrated my 21st birthday. Because I was born in 1995, but I like to try and seem a little bit more mature than my age, so I put 1985 as my handle. That's the only reason.
It doesn't work, just so you know.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Up top, Dave. Thanks, Other Dave.
Thanks, Other Dave. If there's ever a sign of an arsehole, it's someone that says, high five, Other Dave. You fucking cretin. Ladies and gentlemen, if this guy can survive one more heart surgery, we'll get to next week.
We'll see.
And the thing about wrestling is, we all have hope. That's why we still watch. And some of the stuff can be really good, and some of the stuff we really enjoy. And we get great moments sometimes, and that's what we hope we're going to get. So hopefully the Royal Rumble is going to be good. I'm still optimistic there's going to be good stuff in it. David, not so much. But we're going to get through it together, and we're going to see where we come out. Let us know on social media what you think of the episode. Let us know any thoughts that you have about anything, and we will be back soon with more Inside the Ropes. But if you're craving more, patreon.com/insidetheropes, where we're all on there talking more about various wrestling escapades. Thanks for listening, and have a good week.
Take care, everybody. Be nice to somebody, because wrestling has not been nice to us.